for many of us in here, a year of firsts. You were talking about first fruits, but a year of stepping into some things we had not stepped into yet, but it's going to take place this year. And one of the things that I sense was for some of you, a year of firsts in developing psalmists, and you're going to be singing out some songs for the first time. God is excited about that because he's excited to hear those things. You know, his eyes run to and fro. He's always looking and watching, and he's waiting. And it was just that a sense of we have already sown a lot of seeds. Even for the song of the Lord, for the spiritual songs, we have set a tone, we have set an atmosphere over and over again. Y'all have been drenched in it. And those seeds are not just seeds sown, but they have grown. So now it's time for their fruition. They're not seeds anymore. They are grown up. Then we're going to see a year of firsts for some of the burgeoning psalmists in the house. Because a lot of it had to do with, you probably can't see this sign here, but I don't want to get ahead of you. But it says the forging of callings in 2009, and this is to represent something that's been, you know, forged, iron that has been forged and molded and fashioned type of thing. But I see a lot of firsts for that those, as they begin, God releases them and they start to recognize and come into those callings, they'll begin to step out in them, not just in our corporate assembly, but without. And that is such great news for the earth. I mean, it really is when God's people that are called by his name, that possess his Holy Spirit and his wonderful giftings and callings and anointings, that is good news for the earth, for the people in the earth. Amen. So I just saw those type of things. A year of first, God being excited about that. I saw bones that have lain in here. Excuse my grammar, if it's incorrect. That have been dry. We've been speaking to them. We've been speaking life. We've been saying those bones live. And you're going to see those rise up this year. Bones that were dry. You're going to also hear that sound of real, that those bones being connected and joined, fitly joined and knitted together, and the sound that brings. But another thing was strengths. A year of, some of you will go from to a whole nother level of strength. But it's just going to be a year of firsts. Nice. God's excited.
Excited, aren't you? You're a first. You're a first. Amen. I'm excited. I appreciate your heart and I appreciate your obedience in bringing that. There's a good presence in here and totally for equipping. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're a first. I just let it sink in you. You know, we don't do the church thing. We do the God thing, man. You hear a word from God. I don't care if you guys are in here or not. I'm going to drink it in. I'm going to let that speak to me. I'm going to let that vehicle of a voice, of a trumpet, of a sound light things up in my life so I can handle it and walk in it and live by it. Amen. You do the same. You do the same. And yeah, there's a year of first. Yeah, there's a year of first for you, man. I know my heart is way over here. And God's saying that, yeah, my son, there's a year of first for you as well. And God says, you've done well, son, with impartations. You've done great with my impartation. But there's a personal anointing coming to you this year. There's a personal anointing coming to you, my son. And this anointing is going to be forged out. But this anointing, not just by impartation, it's direct. And this anointing is coming by some prayer. And this anointing is coming through some fastings. But I got it for you. It's ready for you. You're going to enter it this year. And this one's not just caught. It's by prayers and fastings. There's a personal anointing, and it's coming to your life. One that's in the storehouse of God. One that's been there. And God said, I want to give it. You've caught the impartation. You've been faithful on that. But I got a personal one this time. Personal. Sometimes he changes it. You know, I know I got anointings in my life. And some of them I caught by impartations. Just like God's saying to his heart. Other times I had to go through prayers and fastings. Because he said, it's here. And then you're just praying it in. You're praying it in till it becomes a part of your life. And you operate in his likeness in that anointing. And that's an exciting thing, that there's a personal anointing for him. Not only a corporate one, but a personal one. A personal anointing that has oil on it, that he's going to be used in another level and another season in this year. And I wish I knew more about what it was, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, amen? Say anointings. Yeah. Trainings are great. We get training and all that. But anointing, sometimes they're that way. You just draw on God and he puts that on you and you have that desire and that bending. And you begin to call for it. And then it begins to manifest in your life. It becomes activated. It's in the storehouse of God. Say the storehouse of God. Until you call for it, it ain't happening. Unless you call for it, it doesn't occur. It's there for you though. Predestined before the foundation of the world, that anointing is there for him. And God say, here it is. Look, the light's on. And he says, I'm laying hold of it. And then you walk in it. And it's not just for you, it's for others. You smear people with the Christ likeness,
with his oil.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I got a scripture coming to me. I'm just going to work with it. Right, we got time. We got time, huh? You all right with that? Yeah, yeah. Kenny, I want you coming up here, standing right here. And I want you standing right here, right next to him. Let's just talk about equipping. Let's just rack it up as a day of equipping today. And it doesn't really matter what the order is. It's just a day of equipping. Because there's people here, and you're here, and you're not just here to only hear somebody preaching or whatever, but you're here to be equipped, imparted to, and released and activated. And I believe, and we've been calling for that and believing that. And Father, I pray for this son of God. And God, in your heart, God's saying, I see the scripture Isaiah. And it says there's some hidden treasures. There's some treasures hidden. And today, I'm unlocking those. And you've limited yourself. You've limited yourself to a one talented man. You said, yeah, I know I got administration. And yeah, I'm good at it. And God gave that to me. But God said, I'm unlocking. There's way more to you, son. There's way more to you, son. Way more to you. And God says, I'm unlocking some things in spirit. And though in your own heart, you've doubted and say, I don't have this in spirit. I don't have this in spirit. God says, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You have it. And today, I'm unlocking it. And God says, in the natural, just like that which is spiritual, you're a hard hitter. God said, I'm going to use you as a hard hitter. I'm going to put you in people's faces. And you're going to be a hard hitter. You're going to do something just like Elijah did. Speak to people. Not be afraid. Speak the heart of God. You're a hard hitter. You're of a certain kind of order. Coming against Baal. Coming against that negativity. Coming against that philosophy. And God said, I'm going to use you like that. And though you don't even know what's going on right now, it's unlocked. The hidden treasure's unlocking right now. So Father, I'm praying, unlock this man. Unlock him on this spiritual dynamic. He's not a one talented man. There's more, way more. Isaiah says there's treasures. And God said, these guys are yoked together. There's a yoking here. There's a yoking in these two's life. There's a likeness in their lives. These men, they hit anvils. They have heads like flint. And they're going to work together. And there's likenesses. And you spend time together. And you talk to one another. And make it times of accountability. And what's going on with you? And what's saying? What's God saying to you? What's saying to you? Exercise that. Accountability. There's likeness. Iron sharpens iron. Make the most of this year. Hard hitters right here. Two hard hitters. Hard hitters. Faces like flint. Heads like rocks. And you put them, God. You called them to this generation. Taking on political dimensions. Taking on things. Already first fruits in your life. First fruits in your life. You've done it. You've done it as a pen of a ready writer. You've done it. First fruits. But that's not nothing. That's not it. It wasn't just doing a paper. There's a calling and an anointing. And God said, I use that and I'm going to forge you continually. And you're going to face philosophies and tear them down. And you're going to bring justice and righteousness to your generation. In every arena, politics, etc. Amen. Amen. Two of a kind. 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 Yeah, Miss Glow, this is for you. And I said first fruits. And there's a first fruit change in your life. There's a first fruits change in your life. You're moving God like you never moved Him before. You're moving Him in spirit like you never moved Him before. You're more moved now than you ever been moved before. And God said, I put that in you. I'm moving you and you're moving my heart. I'm putting that in you and you're moving my heart. And the weepings are going to become reapings. This year, a new year. There's more. There's a purity. That's a river. There's a pure river coming out of you. More purity. More purity, more of a river flow. You've done well, but this next is better. You're moving God. Give yourself to it. You're moving Him. As He moves you, you move Him. Tears and brokennesses and weepings. Things begin happening. Faster than you ever dreamed of. Faster than you thought before. Less labor. More river. Less labor. More flow. Less labor. You got something on your heart, Joseph? You want to finish up? Yes, sir. You're good. Hold it if you want. I'll make room for you. Amen. 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 You just stay with it. I'm just going to minister this. I don't think I'm going to teach it. I'm just going to minister it. I'm just going to work with it. It'll redeem the time. Say, look, this is not for nothing. It'll redeem the time. Sometimes you go through step one, step three, a little PowerPoint and all that stuff. But this time that God's presence is here, we'll just work with it, inject it, work with it, inject it. And tell you that, yeah, we've been here. I'm going to work off of this. Yeah, we were here. Say, I left the baggage behind in 2009. And God's using a tool this year in my life of repentance. Say repentance. And repentance isn't a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. It's a fruitful thing. It's not the sackcloth and ashes. It's something to be exhorted about, to repent. And that God grants us repentance. You look him up later in Timothy. That he's granting us repentance. Repenting for not repeating. Put it on your notes. I'm repenting for not repeating. This year, there's no repeat in my life. It's only repenting. Amen. And I want you to know, when you come to the place of the reality of repentance, and I'm getting it more and more in my own life personally, where I repent, where it's not a matter of I'm doing right or wrong. It's not about, did I do this right or did I do this wrong? It's a matter of life and death. Put it down. It's a matter of life and death. Biblical repentance is not, I'm right, I'm wrong. It's life or death. Genesis is the standard. He said, the day that you partake of this, you will surely die. And so I want to encourage you, when you're repenting, like I did last week, some of you weren't here, that when you're repenting, as long as there's a struggling, and there's a falling, and a struggling, and a falling, and a struggling, but you keep getting up, there's going to be a fruitfulness to your repentance. Just don't quit. Just keep getting up and pick it up. Keep that word. I don't care how hard it is, how difficult it seems, keep his word until that repentance, no more repented of. No, but long as there's a struggle, that's a good sign. Say a good sign. Yeah, if you're struggling, I told them last week, there's guys that come to me and say, Craig, I keep doing this over and over again. And I tell them, as long as I feel that reality of struggling in your life, you're going to make it, man. You're going to make it, and you're going to have fruit and repent of it. And I told them, it's when you get to the point in your life where you get so sick of the yuck of it, you're going to abhor it, and you're going to quit it forever. Because you don't want to die inside anymore. You don't want to waste time anymore. You don't want to, every time you touch that thing, it reduces you. And you lose, you don't lose it per se. You get blocked for a season of the identity that God gave you. Of the flow of his presence. Of the realness and the treasures that he has. So you get sick of it. You say, I hate this, I hate this. I want to rid of it, God. And you stop it. Because you abhor it. Yeah. Say, this year, the tool of repentance to my life. I guarantee you, it's not about right and wrong. I guarantee you, God's not like that. He's always about life and death. Always, always has been. In the beginning. He said, the day you eat of this, you're going to die. Well, he didn't die. Well, he didn't go anywhere. But inside. He lost part of his identity for a moment. Got blacked out, if you would. Lost his identity. Who am I? Oh, I better put some clothes on. I better do this. I better do that. Amen? So repentance. Say repentance. It's a fruit of repentance. And a good locator in your life is, I've talked to another individual that was counseling. Two kinds, two people. And Jesus said, which would be more justified? That guy that keeps struggling, getting up, struggling, and getting so sick of it, like Paul said, oh, wretched man. And then just says, I'm done with it. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of carrying it. Or the other man that comes up with all the tears. Say, tears are good. I believe in tears. I like that. But tears alone and just the act of it, that's not it. And then you continue on your way, and there's times in your life, and you locate it. I've located it in my own life. When I had the tears and cried, but then I come back and I still carry it. And I joke about it. That I haven't reached the point yet. Say, I haven't reached it yet. If I'm still joking about it, if I'm still excusing it, that's not real repentance. Repentance, not to be repented of. Amen. It's freedom. Say, it's freedom. It's fruitfulness. Yeah, locate your heart. If you're always doing that, you catch yourself saying, no, God, take me to the cross in that area. I want to repent. Get rid of this thing and go on unto perfection. Repent from dead works. Go on into perfection. Amen? Amen. Yeah, and then we're at the time. I put this up. I don't know if you could read it when you came up. Yeah, some of you can. It says, awake. It says, make the most of your time in 2009. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Say, I welcome repentance. Yeah, it's not the old religious thing. No, it's not that thing. John the Baptist said, repent, the kingdom's at hand. And I get those changes in me, I'll get those changes around me. That's what I want. See, that's what I want. And God is, I told God all this week, as long as your fuel is on this, we're more than able to do this. As long as your fuel is on this, we're more than able to do this. The redeeming of the time and the forging of callings. But I'm going to read a scripture to you in Ephesians 5. And let's see, it's in the Amplified. I'm going to start in 15. If you read the whole chapter 4, It talks about walking with God, you know, having a walk with God, a walk worthy with God. And say, I want you to know that this whole book of Ephesians, it starts out in chapter 1. He talks about Christ, the ascended Christ, being seated. Amen? Seated. But it doesn't just stay seated. The seating is for our infusing, that we have the ability to walk. Say, to walk. It's not just a positional truth that we, thank you that you're seated. Thank you that you're seated. No, I see that you're seated, and that enables me to walk. Say, to walk. And that's what the book of Ephesians is. It's a seating, a walking, and a standing. And God wants that for all of us, individually, and all of us as a corporate body. We're not just seated, praising Him in the seating, but we're getting that presence of God through that seating, and we begin to walk with Him, walk in His life. And He says in that whole book of Ephesians 4, talks about walking in light. Say light. And I want you to know that's an element of Christ. And it's beautiful. When you're in presence like this, some of you go, I don't quite get it yet, but I sense God's presence. With His presence comes light. Say light. In His presence is fullness. In His presence is light. In His presence is life. In His presence is truth. It's all there. Those are elements of Him. And I want you to know the entrance of His word, say His word, brings light. And when the light comes, you automatically arise and shine. And when you're wanting to get out of something, you get the enlightenment from God. Like Joseph was saying, Craig, it's enough of repeating. It's enough repeating. It's enough going around. Joseph was telling me last night and around and around. If you got the light for it, he said, forsake it. And I said, you're right. So if we have the light, you're going to arise and shine. The moment the light comes, you arise and shine. You get blind to yourself like Paul, Saul did on the road to Damascus, and you get enlightened in God, and you got something to carry out. Amen? Amen. So look for the light this year. Say this year. Say this year. I'm giving myself and my heart to the Word of God. I'm going to put them first. The order of first things. I'm not talking legalistic. Say not legalistic. I'm talking realistically. Realistically. You put Him first, He'll redeem your time. Every time I got myself out of order in my life, every time I got caught up in other things and not putting Him first, I lose time. Say, I lose time. And Paul says it like this. We prayed it earlier, but Paul says it like this. I think it's verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. 14 says, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleep and arise from the dead. Wow. Yeah. Every time the light comes, every time that reality of Christ comes, we awake from our sleep. And when we're the places that we're dead in, we come alive through His light. Say, through His light. And he goes in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Say that with me. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then the Amplified says, look carefully then how you walk. Say walk. Live purposefully. Live worthily. Live accurately. Not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise and sensible and intelligent people. Yeah. Making the very most of the time. Buying up. Say buying up. Buying up each opportunity. And I want you to know there's two words for time. I was looking at them. I was telling Anna yesterday. I was in here and I was typing around. And there's one called Chronos. There's many in the Bible, but one's called Chronos. And it's where we get... Did you ever get your watch? It says chrono time. That comes from the Greek. And I looked it up. It comes from a Greek god. They call him Father Time in the Greek mythology. And it's chronos. And that time is natural time. Say natural time. That time is almost, it's ungodly time. That time is wasted time. Say wasted time. That time is nothingness. That time that you get stuck in. Have you ever been stuck in time in your life? If you're stuck and doing, like, that's what this is so powerful about. Doing the same thing, the same way, and you feel like, I'm stuck in time. I can't get out of this thing. I'm stuck in time. But say, I got released today. Say, I'm released. That's when you're walking in chronos. You're walking in chronos and you're stuck in time and you can't get out. And you're turning 40 and you're turning 50, some of you. And then you're going some 60s and you still have the same thing that you were carrying and you've been stuck in time. That's chronos. See, but there's another word, and he says redeeming the time, which is kairos. That's God's time. Say God's time. Kairos is the redeemer of your time. That's God's nature, making the most of the time. You don't waste time. You gain ground. Have you ever had those days when you were sitting there and you go, man, I got all this done and I got so much? Huh? You're in kairos. You're in that set moment, that appointed time of God. Say, I'm going to live a Kairos time. I'm not going to waste my time anymore. I'm going to make the most of the time. And the best way I know how to do it, I don't even care about years. You know what I mean? 2-9, 2-10, they're all going to change. But I'll use them as a point of contact for God, for our furtherance, for our progression. And that's what we did today. It's not a magical time. We say, God, I'm going to make the most of this time. Might as well end it now. Now's a good day to end this thing in my life. It's a good day to bury this thing in my life. Amen? Yeah. And he says, I want you to make the most of the time buying up the opportunity. And it says in the word kairos, it's almost like in the Greek, it has that connotation like buying up or you know, gathering up time. And not wasting it. Say, not wasting it. And I want to pass out a paper to you. Jimmy, he said, Craig, that's different. I said, yeah, I know. I'm like a school teacher or something. I want to look at it because I want you to know something about time. And we're spiritual and most people live by life and that's cool. But sometimes people need help. I go to the gym every year at this time, 207, 209. Everybody comes in and says, I want to change my habits. You know, they make the resolutions. They do the New Year's thing, all that. And we don't live by resolution. It's amen. We live by Redeemer, the Redeemer of our time. I want to step into Kairos. I want to step out of Kronos. I'm going to walk in Kairos, not in Kronos. God's time, yeah. And he redeems your time. Makes the most of your time. More than anything that I fear is wasted God's time. I know that I have an appointed time in the earth, a certain time, a length of life, a length of years, and I don't want to waste it. And I don't want to miss it. And I feel the passion of God on that for this next generation and for everyone here. For that, about forging out callings and all those type of things. I don't take it lightly. I fear what God, because you want to speak for God. It's a real thing when you're touching people's lives and trying to identify who they are and what they're doing. And I want you to look at that. And if you want to look at it later, you can fill it out. But I want to make it practical because that's part of what we're doing. This church has done great. And I'm proud to be a part of this place. I'm proud to be joined to people here. I'm glad what's happened that don't care about nothing, calling on the name of the Lord, you know, desiring, wanting, but it's growing up. Say growing up. We're beyond just say, I want to be different. I desire to be different. I want to. That's not enough. Say it's not enough. We go on to the next level of calling on Him. And why I emphasize calling so much is you release your human spirit and touch deity. And then He imparts to you illumination, life, light, and light. That's how it happens, but you got to call. Say, I got to call. And we started doing it this year. We had outpourings, we started callings, but now this year, he said, Ephesians, I want you to continue. Carry out this will of God through your soul. Even when Paul's speaking in the next verse, in the next chapter, he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning the will of God. He says, you want to know how to redeem time? Don't be ignorant of His will. You know how to catch up time? Don't be ignorant of His will. How do you find out His will? Huh? Through light, yeah, through the word, light, life, amen, amen. So you're looking at that. So anyway, people, they come to the gym and they tell me stuff and they do the resolution thing and I try to help them because I know a lot of it's just not going to work. And they'll come and they'll talk to me and they'll do it for maybe like 3 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And I want you to know this letter is written. I don't usually do that kind of thing because we all live by life. Say we live by life. But sometimes when we're not, we just got to deal with some things. And this is for not legalism, it's for being realistic. And I do it over there in the natural, the gym, and they'll come in and say, God, man, I want to lose 20 pounds. How do I do this? And they start working out, and they go, nothing's working, Craig. I've been on this treadmill. I'm doing what you said. And I tell them, well, I want you to write and make a journal of what you ate for 7 days. Yeah, write it down. See, because in people's heads, in their minds, they think I'm working out. So that's it. And I say, you're struggling. I want what's best for you. Make a journal. Write it down. Make a journal and start writing down everything you ate for 7 days. You're going to get it. You're going to say, Craig, this isn't a health seminar. But you're going to get it because we're going to apply it to redeeming time. And so they start writing it out and they'll go to me. Well, I'll just tell them that day. What did you eat the last couple of days? Well, let me see. And they'll start writing it on my desk. Well, I ate beans and stuff. I say, with a tortilla. They go like, yeah, well, I had 2 tortillas. And I'm like, and so you just break it out and you go, okay. And then they go, well, what about lunch? Well, I ate the rest of another tortilla. That's 3. And then what about the evening? Well, I think my mom, she made some rice and stuff like that. And I'm going to use that last tortilla. So they don't see it though, because they said, well, I'm just eating 3 meals a day or something. I'm just doing that. But then they start writing it out. Tortillas, journaling it. And then all of a sudden, it's not the light of God, but it's a light of a sort. They go, oh my God, that's what I'm doing? So they journal it. I want you to do the same with time. And maybe not at this moment, or maybe we'll see what happens. But if not right now, we'll do it later. I want you to write down. I put some things about time. And I want you to journalize it because the fact is, sometimes I know people and I counsel them. They're saying, man, I got no time. I go, I'll say, you know, we can visit. Oh, I got no time. And they got one thing to do. I mean, you do a lot in a short amount of time. I mean, you're over all over the place. They only have so much time, you know, and they go, I only have time, but they only got one thing to do. And in their head, they think it's a lot of time. It's not real. Say it's not real. If I had them journal, I'd say, what do you have to do with your time? And they would say, I got to work for 4 hours. But what about the rest of the day? So what it did is destroy that concept in their head that was lying to them. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people are predisposed or geared up that way that they really do believe it. You could tell them that, but inside their heart, they're just so anxious and nervous. They go, well, I got so much to do. It's just that one thing. But because they're anxious people, it becomes a huge thing. So I want you to fill that out about your time. I want you to journal it. And it's not for legalistic. It's for realistic. So you can write it down, read it, face it, and see where you're at. And then sanctify your time to God. Get out of Chronos time. Get into Kairos time. And He'll redeem your time. Amen? And you'll gain it. You won't waste it. And you'll be surprised where you're at. And it's not, again, it's not legalistic. It's realistic. It's to get us into progression. Yeah. Yeah, you got a new one? Or did you say that out loud? Is it on there? Oh, texting and all that? Yeah, but Caleb, see, he's different. He does a job in Texas, he's like Ray Charles. he can do both. He gets away with it, right? Again, it's not for legalism. Say not legalism. It's not for legalistic. It's for progression. That we face some things in our life, we see it, and sometimes writing it down, you need to. And when you write it down, you read it, then you go, okay, I'm correcting that, God. And then you go to Him in prayer, and you start praying, and He gives you the grace to make those changes. Amen? Amen. All right. So, and we're going over here this year as well. And there's going to be a stronger emphasis. And it says the forging of callings in 2009. And this one here, like I said, I don't take it lightly and with great intrepidation. Like you don't want to touch people's lives in a wrong way, but you want to get them into their callings. It's a huge thing. I mean, for everyone, say everyone. Yeah, it's a huge thing for everyone. You come into that calling of God. What with your calling is the sense of God, the fulfillment of God, and the destiny. And you begin to make more of a difference than ever. Amen. And you get a lot of young guys and they don't know what to do. They're all job hunting. You know, there was someone we were talking to the other day and they're saying like, I don't know what to do. I went to college. I don't think this is for me and I want to do this, but I don't think about this. And so just in off the heart, the Bible says, train up a child in his individual bent and gifting in the way that he should go, right? In the way he should go, his individual bent and gifting and where they're gifted at. And so this guy, he's not gifted as a primary leader. He's just not. You can't tell him, hey, go rule over a corporate company. He don't have it. He doesn't have the gifting. But he'd be great in assisting. He's anointed by God to assist and help. And he's faithful and he's a loyal guy. And so, and then he's a guy that's a really wants to serve people. And you can see that off him. So you say, hey, and he's got this energy, man. He's just all about, I want to get it done and adrenaline. And you say, man, why don't you be a great fireman for a practical provision? You'd be a great fireman, man. You get in there helping people. You run in the buildings. And all that stuff, and he would. He could do that as a vehicle. He really could be good at that. And then, you know, of course, he's still a kid, so he goes, yeah, that's probably true. It kind of does fit me, but it's kind of hot when there's fires. Well, he said, well, you'd be a great EMT then. You know, something that you go out, help people. You don't panic in the moment. You rush. You can get them fixed up, helped out, and go to school, man. Just get that. I know you hate it, but just go through that, and you'll have a place. And I don't know. Well, he'll come around, because pretty soon you're going to be starved out. But what you want to do is help identify people with a practical thing. You know, practical, there's practicals. Say there's practicals. You got to have provisions. And I want you to know there's a way of God. And I've been praying for several people in here that, especially the ones that when you come and you're sent by God, write these down. This is a way of God that you're sent by Him. He sends you to wherever city you're to live in. He sends you to whatever place you're to be. He sends you first. And then in your obedience, you forsake everything and you just go where He told you to go. I don't care if it's in a literal land, a job, whatever it is, where you're sent. You want to be sent. Say, I want to be sent. I don't want to just go someplace. I want to be sent by God. So you got to be praying to Him, to hear Him. This is the way. Walk in it. And then He'll send you there. And then He'll set you in a place. He'll set you in a church. He'll set you in the body. He'll set you in there. And then He'll give you your placing. Write it down. Placing. And I remember in my own life doing this and believing that God, this is a way of God, and especially when it comes to forging out your callings. There's really no shortcut to it. Joseph was saying, Craig, I see this one. I see the redeeming of the time. And he says, but I know I can't be playing around when it comes to this one. He was telling me last night. He says, I know this one here, there's some cost in it. And I can't lie to him. It's the truth. When it comes to calling, there's a cost. Everything else is by grace and boom, and nice, and that. And I'm not saying there's not grace with that, but there's a price to pay in that. And he knew that, and he realized it. He goes, I know there's some, this is done in my life, and the time thing, I don't want to waste time, and his heart's right there, and then he comes over here and he says about the forging of callings. And I said, Dad, there's a way of God in that. I wish I could make it say so easy for you, but you can't. It's the way of God. You get sent, you get set somewhere, he's doing that, and then you find your placing. And I'm praying for a lot of people in here. And praying that, again, open up the doors right now. God, open up doors for them in the community. Open up doors for their placing. They can be placed in that area. And then God will use them in that surroundings. But they got to get placed. It's like God sends you and you walk and you obey him. And you get there. Then he sets you in the body and you're connected with everyone. And there's training there. It takes place there. And I can't lie. The forging of the callings come like this. Inner witness. You're spending time with God, calling on God. He lights on you. And you'll be surprised. Then you'll start relating to different people that come around you that are like your kind, that have the same thing in you. Why do you think I put him with him? They're the like kind. And you'll start relating to likeness. Do you feel this? Do you feel that? And then God will do it with my life personally. Then he sent me to some mature man and said, yeah, you have this thing in you. It's a baby phase. It's a baby stage. But now get alongside this man. And he's going to impart to you and train you and hasten that work in your life. Say it's worth it. It'll cost you, but there's no cheap way. It's the way that God made it. And when we get there, and that's a reality, when you get that impartation and you get that activation of that calling, and then you're faithful in it, you live with it, you commit to it, you do it, hell or high water, you just walk it out. The rest of your days, that's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. Yeah, it does. Joseph, did you have anything on your heart? Go ahead, reiterate your things. I won't let you do it. Look at that, 300 people.
I just was talking to Craig about a few things, and you know, we came in here, and you know, just like he's saying, our baggage, if we don't let it go, we don't completely let it go, it's always going to come back and hinder us and hold us back from doing the things that he wants us to do. You know, it's just one of those things where you feel sometimes where you make progress, and then you, if you don't completely let it go, it has a way of finding its way back into your life. And so, like we were talking about true repentance, I mean, if you struggle with it, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but true repentance, once you're completely done, you cut it off, you cut it out of your life completely. I know back in my past when I was ready to get married, I said, God, you know, I'm ready to get married. This is what I want to do. And then God says, hey, if you want to do that, you're going to have to end this. You're going to have to cut this out. You're going to have to cut this out because you're going to have to be a provider. You're going to have to be a leader for this family, and that stuff's not going to work. So you cut those things out completely out of your life, and then you move forward. And those things aren't even in our lives anymore, and those things aren't even a part of our lives, and we're better for it, you know? You know, talking about this time stuff, every day we have to choose what we do. As far as we can choose life, we can choose death. We can choose what we do for God and what we don't do for God. And then you take a look back and go, we've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now, and we don't feel like we've gotten anywhere. Well, take the most out of your time. And the main thing I got out of this was invest in him so he can invest in you. In order to get to your callings, in order for him to completely open up the doors and open up the heavens for you, you've got to invest some time and sacrifice your own life for him to be able to open up your complete giftings. Because why would he give you the keys? Like I was telling Craig yesterday, it's kind of like when your dad throws you the keys whenever you're old enough to drive. Here you go, son, take off, go do whatever, you know, you got that freedom. Well, God's not going to give that to you completely until you sacrifice and invest your time in him completely. Like I was saying, you know, spend the time that you need to in the Word. Spend the time in prayer, fasting, those types of things to give you direction, to give you those things that he's going to tell you, hey, this is what I want you to do. But why would he give you complete power or your complete gifting? Because until he can not only just trust you or know what you're going to do with it. Because like I was telling Craig, people have gifts that God has blessed them with, but sometimes they don't use it for his work. Well, if we invest in him, he's going to invest in us. There's so many things that can happen that we don't even know or imagine that could happen that we might want or that we might not even know of. But until we invest that time, you know, we could miss out on those types of things. I was, you know, talking to Sarah and I was talking to Craig. We have a desire. We have that God would have us in the future open up a business. And in a practical sense, it's going to take some capital to do that. Right. Now, in order for that to happen, in a real sense, if you're not committed, if you're not going to invest any time, why would anybody in this world say, here's my checkbook, get after it. Why? If they can physically see you just not grinding it out, not investing that time, who in their right mind would do that? Would anybody in here do that? No, they wouldn't. So why, God as your Father, completely open that up to you completely if you're not there for the commitment? So what I guess what I wanted to say is we've got to completely 100% commit to God and not just have 3/4 of the way in, not have 90% of the way in. And it starts here, getting rid of that baggage, getting rid of that stuff that holds you back. Then it goes to step two, what are we going to do with our time? How are we going to maximize our time? And then we go in here and we start forging out our callings. Right. And we started talking yesterday about forging. What does that do? You put it in the fire. What does that fire do? It cleanses you. What is it? What are you doing? You're getting all the impurities out. You're getting the imperfections out because you're hammering that thing away to make a complete finished object. When you're forging something, a sword even, you put it in, you heat it up, you're hammering it, you're getting all the imperfections out, impurities out. It's not ready yet. We put it back in the fire, we hammer away again until we make a complete finished product. And that finished product is finished for a reason. You don't make a sword to hammer nails. You know, you make a sword to use it in battle or warfare or whatever, but you don't sit there and go, man, this is going to make a great screwdriver. No, you make it for a purpose and a reason. So that's why you go and you keep going and you keep going, you hammer it out and you finish it out. But and that's kind of what I saw with these types of things. And another thing, I just wanted to confirm some things that's going on with what we're saying or what God obviously has in order for this house. What Craig had spoke last week, when the last part of what he spoke last week was talking about people coming in from different areas or from afar and equipping these people. And I know it's for the body, but it's also for other people because we were out of pocket last weekend, and it's awesome. It's an awesome thing for God to communicate with other people that necessarily weren't here or whatever, because that's still God's heart. Doesn't matter whether you're in Indiana for Christmas break or, you know, I'm on a hunting trip last weekend, and I had a short little dream about many people coming into this house. It was a separate type of meeting. It wasn't a corporate meeting, but it was to equip. It was to equip for people to find their identity, to find their callings, to find what their giftings are. And the age group was a similar age group to mine, and anywhere from teens all the way up to 30s, you know. But it was a separate thing. Craig's heart, as far as in the dream, was we may not be sure of how we're going to get there, but we're going to let God work with us. So I think, obviously, that's the heart of this body. We may not know how to get there sometimes, but we're willing to grind out the work and say, you know what, God, work through us, work in us. And if we make ourselves available, that grace and that anointing will just go through and equip us, and we'll get to where we need to be to help these other people out or get these other people that come in that are lacking those things. So I definitely feel that was a confirmation from us not even knowing what had been said. Until we, you know, I was taking some notes and I was like, man, that's right in line with that dream that I had. And so I obviously think that this is what God would want us to do. And, you know, we're moving in that area or in that manner. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Good word.
Amen. That's a good word. Good confirmation. I want you to write it down. If his fuel's here for it, we're more than able to do it. And he didn't even know, and he hasn't talked to me, and he had that dream, and I have a plan when I get back from a trip that I'm going to start meeting with a certain group, and it's all about that. It's all about not just the big house only, but just individually as a group, a certain number of guys that are really reaching for that, really ready for that. And so that confirmed it to me, just to go ahead, man, do it. Go ahead and do it. And I have had, like I said, there's a fear about it, because you've never done it in totality on that level, but in touching people's lives, you want to make sure it's accurate. You want to make sure it's real and it's authentic for them. So pray for that, because it's happening in this body. And it's not just happening only for the young men. There's many people. It's just a season that you're in your life, and your heart depends on that season that you're in. When you're reaching for them, you're going to be in that season. Amen. I want you to write down one more thing. I'm going to wrap it up practically, because today has been a great day of equipping, and it's awesome. And I really appreciate, like, these guys coming on and the heart of some of these young guys. And I mean, there's many in here. I mean, yeah, right, many in here. But the Josephs and the heart, they're connected. They're getting dreams about here that are totally not even been here, and the same, you know, same spirit. That's oneness. Amen. And I'm looking forward to him. And the more he gets in there, and the more you work with him, the more that he gets really, really proficient in what he's doing and brings a dimension to God. All these guys. Amen. Amen. I want you to write down Job 33. And this is another thing I've been praying in this house, because I'm wanting everyone progressing. And I want you to know that I'm including myself in every one of these things. It's not like some preacher thing. It's as I'm calling on God, I come in here and I wait and I want the sense of God. I want the heart of God. I'll spend the time. I want that. I want to hear Him, because you don't have to make a decision. All you have to do is be a reflection. If you just spend the time and individually, but if you have a responsibility for a business or whatever it is, spend the time with God, drawing on Him, calling on Him, feeling after Him, getting rid of your own agendas and what you think and the opinions of what you feel and all that. You don't have to do any of that. Then you'll start sensing His presence, His heart, and then you start just taking it. You say, hey man, I got the fuel for this, God. We're maybe more than able to do this. If we've never done it before, we're going to get there. And there'll be a great progression this year. And you'll see many, like Anna, we were talking about many sons and daughters come from afar. And I was thinking from afar, and that's true too, but she said afar, that are far off with a relationship with God. And that brought a lot of light. Amen. Yeah, and no matter, I don't care what goes on in the natural, when you have the sense of God with you, it don't matter. And I the next thing I was praying, I said, I'm including in this, is Job 33. Let's go over it real quick, and I'm going to close it. And today's a good day of equipping. It's a good day to drink it in. And all those things that you heard from God, you write it down. And in that assignment sheet, I want you to do the same on the back of it. I want you to write down on the back of your sheet every dream that you've been having. And I want you to put this down now. Take your time, because this is for you to pray over. Every dream that you've had recently that has significance, that there's a vividness to that dream, significance to it, everybody does. Significance, vividness, or reoccurring. You get that dream and it reoccurs. You get that dream and it reoccurs. Vividness. Significance. I'm not just talking about some crazy dream that you had because, you know, maybe you ate something and you go, oh man, I got the Oz and my heart burned and it's a dream. Not that kind. You'll know, because when God speaks, just like He does through prophetic voice or through preaching and teaching or through worship and His presence, there's a presence with it. And I really believe in God of coming to dreams. And I want you to pray that. Say, God, continue to give me the dreams. Grant me dreams. But I want you to record those. The ones that you had that have significance. I'm going to repeat it. That have a vividness. And that you have reoccurringly. I want you to write those. And when you come back next week, I want you to write that dream down. Don't put your name on it. Don't put your name on it. Unless you really, really want to, you know, put your name on it. But don't, if you don't, because I don't want no one to, but I want you to write those dreams. And I'm going to put them in that basket right there. And there's some guys that are coming up in their giftings, and I'm going to pass them out. And I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to go over it with them. And I'm going to see what they see. And when it has that life on it and the lights on it, I'm going to confirm that and say, yeah, man, that's exactly right. You're seeing this and that. Because a lot of times when you go to interpret your own dreams, you see it very different than God's really delivering it. And I want, and we're going to do that and say, coming to dreams, say coming to dreams. See, it's part of equipping. And God loves us so much that He gives us dreams. I've been in this long enough to know that when I'm not listening to the inner witness of God, when I'm not listening to His voice when He speaks to me or He gives me that nudging, when I say inner witness, I mean all of us have it. God, you know, God doesn't say like, you know, this or that. It's a nudging or an impression or a sensation or this touch. And then you go, okay, and if you're awake to it, and we're going to get there, say, we're getting there. Say, I'm getting there. Say, and I want you to write down Isaiah 66 and make it part of your prayer. That I tremble at His word. That He just could just nudge me. That I'm getting to the place, and you're getting to the place, that He could just nudge me. And I tremble and respect Him so much that I'm going to listen to that witness of life and death. I'm going to listen to that. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, and it may be different. It hasn't been very much in my years of experience and with the word. But it's never a yes or no. It's always life or death. It's always a heat to it or a coolness to it. That's why He says the path of the just gets brighter and brighter as the noonday. And when God, you never hear Him say like, yeah, yeah, go do that. Or no, don't do that. It's yes, it's like life. Here it is right there. Now follow that. And you follow that impression and it gets brighter, an element of light. You follow it, it gets confirmation. You follow it, there's a realness to it. When you try it and you're not sure, I don't know, I'm not sure, God. And you walk out and the bottom starts dropping out and it gets darker and darker and darker. Then you know. You could say in your human concept, it's no. But in God's concept, it's death. That's the inner witness. Say the inner witness. And number two is he puts jackasses in our lives. Yeah, he does. Bruce say amen. Yeah, he does. Yeah, you got to deal with your jackasses. You got to deal with your donkeys. You can't keep beating them up. You can't keep hitting them. Because God, if you're not listening to the inner witness, He's so gracious. Say He's gracious. And he's going to reach you because he wants you to fulfill the will of God and the destiny of God. And so he'll stick a jackass in your life. Somebody. You know what I mean? That's saying, hey, don't go that way. Huh? And then you say, and you'll do two things. You'll go, hey, mate, like David, you get sensitive enough. You go, hey, this is a madman. Hey, don't kill him, boys. Maybe God's saying something through him. That's what David did. So you don't kill your jackasses. Amen. Maybe listen for the voice of God in them. When you hit that place like Balaam was riding along, and you hit that place and I can't get through. Oh, I'm going to push through. I'm going to push through. Sometimes you're to do that. But other times you're hitting a wall. You might find yourself beating against something to keep you from something. Amen. And the graciousness of this coming to dreams, if you don't get it in those two orders of God's voice, look at Job 33. Say, how kind is God? Will you say, how kind is God? He loves me. Say, he loves me. He wants me to fulfill all his will. Yeah, he does. And he said, coming to dreams. Where is it at? Chapter 33. What's the nation is God? Someone finds it. Let me know, Tom. 14. 14, is it?
You start there. I mean,
let's see. Maybe I got the wrong. I thought it was 33. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. No wonder why. You can't find Job when you're in Psalms. It doesn't work that way, right, Jimmy? It's like I'm looking at Psalms. It's not going to read that way, is it? No? I'll read it out loud. I'm trying. Well, I'm there. Job's back here. Job, verse 15, Glow. Pray this over your life. And I want you to take that sheet of paper. I want you to deal with the time issues and free yourself up. You know, don't kid yourself. Just face it. Get on down the road with it. In 33 here. It says in verse 14, for God speaks once, say once, yea, twice, yet a man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he, what? Opens the ears. Hey, man, we were praying. Say that. Then he opens the ears. Personalize it. Say, then he opens my ear. Opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Why? That he may withdraw the man with his purpose and hide pride from that man and keep his soul back from the pit or from missing God. So pray that your assignment in this day of equipping is to write down the timing and write down a dream. I feel like I'm in a can. This is all right. I'm done anyway. But just write down those dreams. And you're going to be surprised that maybe something that you bypassed that God spoke to you that's going to get clear in this time. Amen? You get anything out of this? Okay, let's stand to our feet and let's thank him. Amen. Father, we thank you for this year. And I thank you for the first fruits, even the presents. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for your love for us as your sons and your daughters. I thank you for the realness and equipping us with your voice, God, with dreams, God, with forgings, God. I thank you for the ability, and we continue to press in. We desire your will. We're hungry for your will, and we always, always, always are welcoming you, Jesus. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome you. Have your place as head of the church. Have your place in our lives. Equip us. Send us. Set us. And place us in that sphere. In Jesus' name. Amen.